Hey, Darren.
Oh, hey, Justin.
Ah, it is that time again. It is the third week of the month. How you doing?
Oh, so it means something in my house is going to randomly break?
Yes, but okay. let's not dwell on the negative.
Yeah, it's the third week of the month. That's right.
So, welcome everybody to the Week 3 podcast, where every third week of the month, hopefully, Darren and I sit down and we take turns discussing things that the other likes. Last month, Darren hit me up with a very, 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 very obscure cartoon toy series.
Starcom, bitches.
So, rewind a few weeks and give it a listen.
Yeah, about three.
About three, yeah.
Three, maybe four, yeah.
We're nothing if vaguely consistent.
So, sponsorship opportunities are open.
Yes. So it is my turn this month, and I want to talk about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It was only a matter of time before we did this.
Now, I know, dear listeners, what you must be thinking. Justin, are you going to talk about the 1978 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy primary radio series, or perhaps the 79 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book, or perhaps maybe the 1981 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy television miniseries? Oh, I know. Perhaps I'm talking about the 85 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy original radio scripts books. Or maybe I'm talking about the 1984 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy video game. Or maybe I'm talking about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy feature film from 2005. Well, the answer is, of course, yes.
Okay. All right.
So I'm really just talking about the franchise.
All right. Strap in.
So I was first introduced to Hitchhikers and the work of Douglas Adams, the author, in college. And college was a weird time for everybody. I was really kind of coming into my own as a person. You know, I'm by this point, I've already established myself that I am a musician. I play music. I do art. You know, I do all sorts of things. But then I kind of really discovered things like Monty Python, and I started digging into anime a little bit and rekindled my love of comic books and that sort of thing. So this fell into my lap, and I just absolutely loved it. So the basic premise of Hitchhikers, the first book, the radio series, the movie, everything, the basic original story is Earth gets spoilers.
No, you've had time.
I'm not gonna go through the entire book and synopsis it page by page. But here's the overall story: Earth gets destroyed to build an interstellar bypass, and the only two remaining survivors from the planet are Trillian, Trisha McMillan, who was taken off the planet a few weeks prior by Zaphod Beeblebrox, the galactic president.
Sure.
Because, you know, hey, babe, I'm cool. You want to see my spaceship?
It worked on me.
And Arthur Dent. And Arthur is the main protagonist of the story. He is a hapless individual who can't really seem to catch a break. In fact, just before the Earth is destroyed, his house is going to be demolished to build a bypass.
It tracks.
It tracks. Arthur's friend, Ford Prefect, is an alien who he doesn't know is an alien. Ford is a writer and a scout for the eponymous Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is the sole repository of information for people who want to hitchhike across the galaxy, and okay, the various misadventures that ensue. So Douglas Adams first came up, or says he first came up with the idea for Hitchhikers in about 1970, 71, while laying drunk in a field near Innsbruck, holding a copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to Europe, and just watching the stars spin above him.
You know, I was going to ask if some sort of substance had something to do with the invention of this.
Yes. And he just thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Stars, to, you know, people who were trekking across the universe? And then he promptly forgot it for about 8 years.
Okay.
And then while working on a project for the BBC, it popped back in and it took off. And it actually started life as the radio series. Like, he worked up a script with, you know, a screenplay, effectively, the cast for it. And while it debuted with little to no fanfare, it quickly became one of the more popular shows and took off from there. A few years later, in 79, he took the screenplay, effectively, and condensed it down to novel form, which became the first Hitchhiker's book, giving a little bit more detail to some things, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And the book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, is the first book in a five-part trilogy.
A five-part?
Yes, it is a trilogy in five parts. There are five books to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series.
Yeah.
And it's a trilogy in five parts.
Okay.
Well, I think he had originally intended for three books and then came up with a fourth idea and then a fifth idea. And had planned for a sixth idea before he died.
Fair.
And technically there is a sixth book, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But as the radio series went on, there's the primary phase, which tells the original, you know, kind of the first story, the secondary phase, the tertiary phase, and so on and so on. There are, of the five main books, there's The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, The Restaurant at the End of the Universe, Life, the Universe, and Everything, So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, and Mostly Harmless.
So Long and Thanks for All the Fish is a wonderful musical number from the 2001 film.
Yes, the 2005 film. Yes.
2005 film, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic, yeah, even.
Fantastic, yeah. Apparently, humans think that we are the smartest species on the planet. We're not. We're not even in the top. I think we're like the third smartest. The second smartest being the dolphins. Fortunately, they don't speak human. And so the only way they could communicate with us is through, you know, clicks and chatters and various tricks. Their last communication with humans before the planet exploded, before they disappeared. They disappeared before the planet exploded. They knew.
Oh, yeah. They got out.
Yeah. Was their last communication with humans was a very elaborate triple somersault through a ring of fire while whistling the Star Spangled Banner, which in dolphin translates to "so long and thanks for all the fish."
Marvelous.
Yes. Mostly Harmless is the guide's entry on Earth. Actually, no. See, Ford went down to Earth to add more about Earth to the guide because its only entry was Earth. Harmless. His addition was mostly harmless.
Yeah, things have changed.
Well, compared to the broader galactic scheme, we're probably still mostly harmless. To us, each other, we are dangerous. To the world, to the galaxy at large, probably not.
I maintain that aliens have not made contact yet because they've seen what we're capable of and they want none of this smoke.
Either that or they know if they come down here, their favorite television series, Earth, they're watching us
do
our thing. As I said, there was a video game, a text-based video game released in 1984 where, you know, you wait. The prompt is, you wake up. And then you have to type in what you do next.
Yeah, I had one of those.
I open my eyes. I get out of bed. I walk, you know.
I had that in The Hobbit on the IBM PC Junior. Text-based adventure games. Man, I don't miss those.
Yeah. But it kind of followed the storyline of the book. So at some point, if you didn't get downstairs to stop the bulldozers from running over your house, you wouldn't encounter Ford, the earth would blow up, and you would die.
Sounds right.
Sounds right. So really, you could play it and just kind of flip the page of the book. Like, okay, I do this. Flip the page.
Yeah,
I do
and
this.
That's one of those things where, like with The Hobbit on the text-based adventure version, I had not yet read the book. So I didn't know what I was doing. I inadvertently figured out how to turn those trolls to stone or whatever they were. But like, yeah, I would have been completely lost with Hitchhiker's Guide.
Oh, I've read the book many times. I've listened to the radio series. I've watched the movie. I've watched the TV miniseries. I still couldn't get out of the damn house before the earth blew up. It was also a comic book. DC Comics got the rights for a while to make a graphic novel adaptation of this.
Okay. Nice.
As Darren said, there was a 2005 feature-length movie. It starred Martin Freeman as Arthur. It had Sam Rockwell in it, Zoe Deschanel. Alan Rickman was in it.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's just one of those movies where you're just like, I know all of these people.
Yeah. What are they doing here?
And one of the beautiful things about Hitchhikers as a whole is the radio series is a little bit different from the books. The books are a little bit different from the TV miniseries. The TV miniseries is a little bit different from the movie. The movie is a little bit different from the video game. And you never get the same thing twice.
Right.
They're always kind of mixed and mashed and chopped and screwed and whatever. So it's, they're almost like variants. If you're a Marvel fan watching the Loki series, it's the same thing, but it's not.
Yes, but no. Yeah.
And if the post office would ever deliver it, I just ordered the new illustrated edition of Hitchhikers.
Oh,
with
nice.
With the illustrations done by renowned artist Chris Riddle, who's worked with Neil Gaiman in the past and stuff like that. And I'm just waiting.
It's the hardest part.
Well, it's in my town. The post office just hasn't gotten it to me yet.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
I know. Anyway, this isn't a rant about that.
That'll be later.
That'll be a different thing. But I love The Hitchhiker so much. It is so absurd in its comedy. It's almost Monty Python-esque. And it would not surprise you to learn that Douglas Adams actually worked with the Pythons.
No, that doesn't surprise me.
When John Cleese left the group in the 70s before Flying Circus's final season, Graham Chapman tapped Douglas Adams to be his new writing partner for that final season. Later in the 80s or 90s, I forget, Douglas wrote a video game called Starship Titanic about a space cruise liner that goes horribly awry. Mm-hmm. and Terry Jones from Monty Python then took that and made it into a book.
Okay.
So his connections with the Python runs very deep, which explains a lot about the humor in the book itself. But I mean, there was even a stage show.
Of course.
They made a stage show of this. It is all over the place. Sadly, Douglas Adams passed away in 2001, so he never got to see the movie take off. He'd been planning it and trying to get it off the ground for years. And I think he was in the final talks with, I don't want to say it was Disney, but I kind of do. He may have been in talks with Disney about it, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember who ended up actually making it.
Yeah. I don't either, and it's irrelevant at this point. But he was still working very hard to get it off the ground before he passed away, and eventually it was, and I'm glad it was. I was going to say I'm going to nerd out here for a second, but we do that anyway.
It's the whole premise of
the
show.
Whole point.
By the way, Touchstone Pictures. So yeah, technically Touchstone. Disney. Technically
yeah,
Disney.
Yeah, see? There you go. So I remember going to see National Treasure.
Yeah, I like
in
that.
In the theater.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I was actually sitting there with my spouse before she was my spouse, before we were even dating. It was just us and some friends. And we're waiting for the movie to start, and the previews kick on, and okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden, we hear Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World as it's zooming out on the Earth. And then the Earth explodes. And instantly, I knew what was going on. And so did my spouse. And we both let out an, and sure enough, emblazoned across the screen in big friendly letters were the phrase, "Don't panic." Which is what is emblazoned on the cover of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It is the motto, "Don't panic." And I have never been... I kind of lost track of the movie from that point on because I was so hyped about this movie that hadn't come out yet.
That's a wonderful story, though.
It is. To this day, I still love that. It's a little fond little memory in my head.
You've got a core memory there.
I do, yeah. Just because Douglas is gone doesn't mean that the fandom has stopped. There is a towel day dedicated to hitchhikers because one of the core tenets of being a hitchhiker is always know where your towel is.
Yep.
Because you could be in the most absurd situation. You could be disheveled. You could be stinking to high heaven. And you could walk up to any door. And if you have your towel is, they will go, well, that person clearly knows what's going on. They know where their towel is.
Yeah.
Surely we should help them. As I said earlier, there is a sixth book to the series. The Adams Estate commissioned Aylwin Coffer of... what did he write? He's another author who wrote a series of... Oh, the Artemis Fowl books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They commissioned Aylwin Coffer to write a sixth installment to the Hitchhiker's Guide series because the last book, Mostly Harmless, it ends very bleakly and darkly, and Adams always wanted to go back and kind of make a happier ending. So they commissioned Coffer to write a sixth book. And for the most part, it's good.
For the most part.
Well, it was good up until the last page and a half.
Oh, okay.
Because it ended halfway down the second to last page was a perfect stopping point. And then he just kept going. And I'm just like, I don't like this. This, no. Damn it.
Like another bleak ending or?
Without
spoiling it.
Not so much bleak, but not a happy ending for Arthur. I'm just like, really?
Mm. Okay.
Really? So I ended up donating that book to my local library because I tried to like it. I really did.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't get past that, the ending that he put to it.
No, I've donated many a book for such a reason.
But, you know, I highly suggest that if you are a fan of adventures through space and silly shenanigans that could happen on said adventures, absolutely check it out. And like I said, if you're not an avid reader, there are other ways to get this. The audiobook is read by Stephen Fry. The subsequent books have been read by Martin Freeman.
Both
good choices. So you can read the book, you can listen to the book, you can get the radio series still and listen to a production of it. You can watch the 2005 film, or you can watch the 84, 81
the 80s TV, miniseries.
The 80s miniseries, yeah. Which lacks budget compared to the 2005 film.
What a surprise.
What a surprise. But they're both beautiful and delightful in their own way. So there are numerous ways in which you can ingest this franchise, and I highly recommend it. It is absolutely one of my favorites.
Well, I've enjoyed watching the joy on your face as you have talked about this series. It's clearly something that is very near and dear to you.
I weekly will quote Arthur Dent, because one of my favorite quotes is, "It must be Thursday. I can never get the hang of Thursdays."
Thursdays are weird.
I have a little Arthur Dent figure on my desk.
Of course.
He's in his pajamas and his robe, and he has his towel.
Well, you know, that guy knows what he's doing.
Clearly he's got it together. So I will stop gushing about The Hitchhikers, but Douglas Adams was an amazing author. Silly to the core, but seriously silly. It's like he put thought into what he was doing. And he didn't just write humor. There were other things he wrote as well. He was also very conservationally minded. He actually tried to stop the black rhino from going extinct, which sadly I believe it did. But he started a charity to help raise awareness and money to protect these animals. So he wasn't just some goofy British guy writing silly books. He did a lot in his lifetime, and I'm still sad that he's gone.
Well, it sounds like he made the world a better place for it, though.
I think he did, at least for me.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Do what you can with the time you got, and geek out over it in the process.
Exactly. So, thanks for listening to me ramble on about this. I appreciate it, and I hope you liked it. I hope you enjoy it in the future. Speaking of enjoying things, we have a myriad of other shows that you can check out. There's The Big Show, the main show.
But to say The Big Show, professional wrestler Paul White, where is he?
As soon as I said it, I'm like, he's going to pull a wrestling reference out. I know he is.
Go ahead.
So there's The Geek Cave Podcast, which comes out the first week of every month.
Yep.
The second and fourth weeks of the month, you've got You Want Me to Watch What?, where Chad and I make each other watch movies the other hasn't seen. And so far, we're still friends. And on YouTube, we've got Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays, occasionally a TLDR and Geek Cave Chat. But there's other things to listen to in between in the intervening weeks between this week.
Oh, and don't forget, if you sign up for our Discord at geekcavepodcast.com, you get early access.
Exactly. Check us out. Go to the website, and it has links to all of our social media accounts, including the Discord. So stop by, say hi, and we'll say hi back. So I guess it's your turn.
Oh, I've got something.
Okay, then. Bye.
Bye.